Do you ever suffer from a lack of confidence?
No.
How do you do that?
I love myself.
This is a test. This station is conducting a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. This concludes this test of the emergency broadcast system.
As anyone who's spent more than about 10 seconds on social media will be aware, it is a hell space. And as anyone who produces content for a living will tell you, it's impossible to do so without having skin as tough as rhino hide. Which is troubling to me because art shouldn't necessarily be about toughness. I want to hear voices that are vulnerable and empathetic and sensitive and kind. And what hope do they have of being heard when they're simply trying not to be torn apart in the bear pit of the internet? Forms, a rapper from Hertfordshire, probably lies somewhere between the two camps. He's got bravado, much of his content involves football and sport, which is an altogether different kind of internet madness. And there's a degree of banter that unquestionably riles people and subsequently boosts his social media presence. But he's human, and this stuff, being screamed at by strangers, every neurosis you might have being tugged at and toyed with, well, you can be as tough as you like, but sometimes the noise will burrow its way through to you. I speak from personal experience. Form's new single, Keyboard Warriors, is his attempt at making sense of an experience he had in the wake of performing a freestyle rap on Sky Sports at the end of the last Premier League season. I'll be honest with you, I'm interested in all kinds of music making, and sometimes I purposely go towards artists with stories like Form's, because I want to understand better the way music is made, promoted and marketed in realms outside my wheelhouse. Forms his big dreams, and I wouldn't bet against him making them a reality, since his imprint online, which is where he's making his name right now, isn't insignificant. I was interested in knowing how much Forms' confidence is bluster, and how much is innate, how much came in the wake of a bad experience, and how much was there prior. I guess where it came from doesn't really matter, but if this podcast is about one thing, it's about music and all its facets of creation, and the people who make it. And I was grateful to spend a little bit of time with Forbes and understand the online music making space a little bit better than I did before going in. Usual stuff, I'd love it if you'd sign up for the Patreon, link in the show notes. You get more stuff, I get to pay my rent. And I'd love it if you'd leave a rating and a review on Apple or Spotify. It really helps this podcast get to more people who I think would enjoy it. And remember, if you're in East London on March 7th, then I'd really love it if you'd come along and see me in conversation with Jamie Collinson, author of the excellent and recently released book, The Rejects, an alternative history of popular music, the stories of those the big bands left behind. There's a link to get tickets to that in the show notes, and it would be great to see you.
Do you want me to record anything from my side, or...?
No, it's all good. I sort of, quite often I wish I did it that way, but I feel like with musicians, it's just easier to do it on one channel because otherwise you're waiting for the audio. Or,
yeah.
You know, now I'm not making any assumptions of musicians. I mean, I feel like you're a different breed of musician because of kind of just how online you are. It's almost like you've sort of grown up with this stuff. But, you know, if I'm interviewing like a, you know, sort of 60-year-old folk singer, it's just sort of just too hard to do it that way. So, you know, I sort of go, I think the listeners know by now that if the audio is, occasionally off, that it's just because I'm maybe speaking to someone in a rehearsal room or whatever, you know. Where are you? You look like you're in some sort of like private screening room or something.
I'm in my home studio.
Oh, that is very impressive.
Oh, and it's a bit dirty, so I'm embarrassed to show it to you. But yeah, I've got my own space, which in my house, I moved out nearly a year ago now. And I moved out with my best friend / manager. He bought the house and went, "Do you want to move in?" I went, "Yeah, sure." And then, "Get you a best friend who backs you like this." I turned up on day one and he went, "Go in there." I went, "Okay." This whole thing was built. I was like, "Shut up. That is..." And I'm so grateful to the point where, like, I don't fucking leave this room.
That's bonkers, man. Who's is that? Terry Crews behind you?
It's Stormzy.
So, I feel really bad now.
That's all good.
It's one of those things where, nah, I don't like that. I feel very bad. It looked like Terry Crews.
Funnily enough, more people have said, "Is it Terry Crews?" than they have, "Is that Stormzy?"
Really?
I'm not even kidding. Like, I don't know what it is about the shape and size and structure of him that makes him look like Terry Crews, but maybe it's the thumbs. When do you ever see Stormzy stand like that?
I think it's that, you see. Yeah.
God. So it's fine. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously Stormzy now.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I thought I'd hone in on the new single straight away, actually, because I am daily horrified by the dystopian hellscape that the online world has become. Mm-hmm. And I don't even really feel like it's touched the sides yet. I don't think it's over. I think that we've got a long way to go. Mm-hmm. So I was really interested that you had a song called Keyboard Warriors and that you had a bad experience online as well. Do you want to tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, it stems back to, like, even before I was online. Like, I've always had thick skin. Like, I've been real good at blocking out the noise for as long as I could possibly remember. And in my head, it's almost like, if I can't control a situation, I don't let it get to me. I know what I want. I know where I'm headed. Somebody else's opinion just doesn't matter. I don't need somebody else to see the vision like I see it, because if I see it, that's all that matters. I'm the only person that could do something about it. So I don't really listen to outside noise, and we can touch on it a little bit later about how people back in the day when I started rapping for them in school were really not receptive, and how I kind of dealt with that. But building up that thick skin from early and training that muscle in my brain to block it out kind of allowed me to make the song, to make Keyboard Warriors the way that it is. So the experience that led to the song was pretty simple. And it goes a little something like, I've been making content online for 4 years, probably just over 4 years now. And the bigger I've got, the more open I've been to receiving hate, trolling, keyboard warriors, whatever you want to call it. And I have got thick skin, like I said, so it's like I don't really let it get to me. I read comments, I laugh at them. Sometimes I'll engage if I can find a witty way to reply, because to me it's pure entertainment. But there was one kind of situation that happened maybe 8-9 months ago that flipped that narrative. I went on Sky Sports. They invited me on the show to rap for them. I make a lot of content online and I rap about football and Formula One and sports. So Sky Sports saw that and went, "Let's bring him on the show." So I took that opportunity with both hands and I spat bars. I did like a season recap of what happened last season in the Premier League.
Forms, we can't let you go without hearing some rapping live here in the Sky Sports News studio.
I got you. Awesome. I might get the bars up on my phone.
Yeah, yeah, you can do that.
It summarises the season and I don't want to fluff it up like Arsenal did. Ha ha. And like Tottenham did, but we won't talk about that. All right, let's do it. This year in the Premier League, how do I even start this recap? Man City win 3 in a row at Christmas. There was a team who couldn't see that. Arsenal spent 93% of the season on top. At least the Champions League music, one side of London is on.
I smashed it. Like, it went so well. It was the first, like, big national TV, cameras, lights, all of it. I loved it. Sky loved it. My mum loved it. But social media decided it was fully my turn to be ripped into shreds. So I looked on Twitter just to see what people were saying afterwards. There's this account that had reposted it. The clip had got 10 million views and over 15,000, probably way more now, pure hate comments thrown straight at me. Like, I got the PG ones, like, embarrassing freak, I got called a clown, his parents should never have had him, and they just got more and more vulgar. And I'm scrolling and I'm reading with a smile on my face because I really don't let it get to me. But the more I'm scrolling and it feels like it's never ending, I'm like, okay, this is hitting me in a slightly different way. I have to get it off my chest. So I went to the studio, sat in a session with a producer that I just met. His name's R14. He's class. And I'm like, okay, I just met this guy and I'm about to talk about people being mean to me online. How can I make this work and make it me? And I went, look, let's not play the victim here. Let's not lean into that narrative because it's just not me to stand there and cry about it. So I went, how can I flip the script? How can I empower myself? Well, hang on. Things are going really well in my life right now. I'm achieving so many things. I've just put my mum on my payroll and that made me cry when I was able to do that. Yeah. I drive a really cool car. Like, I've just been on Sky Sports. I'm getting opportunities left, right and center. If I just write about the things that are going well in my life and flex on the trolls, they're not going to have a leg to stand on. So that's what I did. And I just started listing off all the things that were going well and just turned it into a bit of a high energy bop.
Which I think is exactly the way that this stuff should be dealt with. I think that, you know, I suppose, you know, there's no way of saying it. I am older than you. I'm 43. So I'm a little bit, you know, like when I was an 11-year-old, and I don't want this to be a trauma dump, but when I was an 11-year-old, I, you know, had experiences growing up that, you know, I really feel like was bullying at the sharpest of ends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kids turning up to my house and egging my house and, you know, getting beat up pretty brutally. And I've just written a book about it, and it's
nice.
It's out next year, so I'll spare anyone any more of the gory details. But I suppose I get a little bit like I suppose because of that, my threshold for like what bullying is quite, you know, like I feel like that term gets thrown around quite a lot. Like I, for example, I've worked for people who have been very abrasive, you know, bosses and such like, and I don't think I would describe them as a bully because I feel like bullying is like very much a targeted. Mm-hmm. Very much like a targeted attempt to make someone's life unhappy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that, like, your experience, that there's part of me, like, I've been dogpiled online, so I know psychologically that it is an extraordinary experience. And when it happened to me, I literally felt like an 11-year-old again, going, oh, this is what it's like when loads of people come at you. But I suppose I about where I feel about the idea of it being bullying. And I guess I say all this to say, what are your thoughts?
I think you're right. I align with the if the intention is to hurt somebody's feelings, it's bullying, because that's exactly it. If you've got someone who says something and their intention was, oh, let's try and get your attention, or let's just try and get other people to laugh about it or get likes on my comment or this, that, the other. Is it bullying? No. Is it you really need to take a look at your life and what is going seriously wrong that you can't get attention from other people in the traditional sense? But it all kind of fits under one umbrella, I guess, when it's online, because you don't know who's behind the screen. You don't know what's going on in their lives behind closed doors. But also, they could be a completely fake person. Like Steve Smith from Ipswich could be Delilah Bell from Northwest London online, and you just wouldn't know.
Yeah.
So you can't really, I don't think it's as easy to define the word bullying when it comes to cyber and when it comes to online. So I guess that's why it's easier to just categorize it all under the same title. But at the end of the day, regardless of the reasoning, whether it's they're either jealous of me or they feel like I've offended them in some way, or mainly because I'm just a Spurs fan, or they don't like the music, they think my nose is too big, or they actually just abhor me. Like, they cannot stand it. Whatever reason it is, like, there's better ways to go about your day than to try and bring somebody else down.
I think there's something about the everyone in the world is like there's a lot about the world which is very unpleasant, and there's a lot of people who are really unhappy, and I think that I mean, you know, you just mentioned football. I'm a big football fan. I hear appalling things of football all the time. And I think that a lot of people think that's fine because that's what they pay their money for. They pay their money to scream and shout and to basically have a release. And I, in lots of ways, I feel like they should have a release because I wonder what that's like if they don't do it in that sort of, you know, sort of controlled environment. But I also don't really get it. Like, I always have this thing about football where if I'm at football and I see someone screaming at a player on the pitch, I always go, you know, chances are, unless you're in your early 20s, mid-20s, chances are the player on the pitch is, like, younger than you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so you're basically screaming at a child, right? That's, you know, like 60-year-old fellas screaming at children running around on a pitch. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Do you think that it happened to you because you'd crossed over into that football fan kind of environment?
I wouldn't say so, no. But I mean, I've been kind of well immersed in the football social media world pretty much since I started, and I wore a Spurs shirt on camera, started going to Spurs games, started rapping about what happened this week in the Premier League and only like cussing out Arsenal and all of that kind of stuff. So I think I've been well primed and prepared and completely understand that there is a large chunk of a football fan base in Arsenal, Chelsea, West Ham, even Man United, who are really, really easy to get on their nerves, who come for me for whatever reason, whether that's, like I said, they either don't like me or they don't like the fact that I'm a Spurs fan. So I don't think that particular, I don't think that particular instance with me on Sky Sports was a case of I triggered any football fans. I genuinely just think, I actually don't know, is the honest answer. Like, I fully understand that doing what I do online when I promote myself as a big Spurs fan is going to pee people off. Can I swear or no?
Oh, yeah. And also, P is barely a swear word.
Going to piss people off.
Right. Because
it just does, and that's football, and everyone hates Tottenham. Cool. What do we think of Tottenham? It's like a great chant. I'm here for it. But at the same time, I quite enjoy it because, A, I know that my videos get incredible engagement off the back of it, which just boosts it, and then it furthers my chance of working with the brands that I want to work with. B, like I said earlier, really easy blocking out all of the noise from other football fans. Continue making content for, like, about Tottenham, and now I work with Tottenham. So it's like, there's no better motivation for me to be able to block it out than going, my absolute dream football club, pay me to do work for them. Like, it's next level. So it's one of them things where, when I said earlier, I'm really good at blocking out the noise. I'm really good at blocking out the noise. It was that one teeny situation. Well, teeny was quite big, 15,000 comments, but it was that one situation that just hit me in a different way. But funnily enough, through doing and creating Keyboard Warriors as a song, I actually think I'm prepared for any of it when it comes to online. I really do, because I've experienced the death threats in my comment section, you know, the death threats in my DMs. And I've also experienced being dragged across Twitter in the most horrible of ways. And I'm still here with a smile on my face, loving what I do every single day. So
I think that's the thing, is that you do, you know, it's just like anything in life. You can get worn down by it, but you do harden. You know, like there are things sometimes I've experienced online where I go, oh God, you know, like 5 years ago, that would have totally have, you know, ruined my day. It would have sent me spiraling even, but now, yeah, okay, whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, but I think a lot of it is what is almost like what you say, is that you don't know what's going on with someone on the other end. So it can really, you know, like my life's good. You know, like I'm married, I got good friends. You know, I'm happy. But if it had kind of caught me at a time when I felt like I didn't have that support system, I think that's something worrying, you know.
For sure. And I think I've never kind of openly or publicly admitted to it. And there's no particular reason as to why not. I've just never kind of had that conversation with the camera on. But from the back end of last year, I started going to therapy, just seeing a therapist, just to kind of navigate my feelings. A lot of stuff was happening in my life, whether that be work, personally, And one thing I came to realize, or she's helped me to realize, is that people can only do what they can with the tools that they've got. Like, if somebody is really going through it and they are not the type of person to bring positive energy to a situation, and life really gets them down, and they didn't have a great upbringing, or their family home, or there's a domestic situation, or whatever it is that has got them so tightly locked away in this box that they don't know how to deal with their own feelings other than what they already do with them. Well, if that's all they're capable of doing now, the only thing I can do is accept that and either continue to give it my attention, or if it's not going to affect my life in a positive way, look the other way. Because, like, it genuinely all stems from, if I can't control it, I'm not going to let it affect me. Unless I 100% have to, I'm not going to let it affect me. I've got way too, I'm so early on in my career, I've got so much going on that I am so ready to just blow up and just get going, that, like, little things can't take my attention, if that makes sense.
No, I think you're going to be fine. You're talking like a CEO. You're talking like someone who has got it worked out, you know. Speaking of things you can't control, how are you feeling about Spurs?
I've actually got a good feeling. I think I'll be hearing the Champions League theme music next year, which would be great, because I've got a very heavily Champions League themed song coming around the time of the end of the season. If Spurs don't make it, that's going to be hella embarrassing. I think we've got all of our players back from injury, albeit our two fullbacks have just got injured. But we've got all of our players back from injury. Things are looking good. We're building some kind of momentum. I just think we need to get our heads down and crack on, and just not be Spurs. We haven't looked Spursy under Ange Postecoglou. I'm praying it continues for the rest of the season. Top four, happy days. Sign even better players with the Champions League pool. Grow from it. Keep going.
So who's the top four going to be? Liverpool, City,
yeah. Arsenal and Spurs.
You don't think Villa will hang in there?
No. I think Unai Emery is a fantastic manager, and what he's doing with Villa is class. But when it comes down to that final stretch of the season, that's when it comes down to football pedigree and mindset, and the mental game starts to take effect. So if, let's say, Spurs and Villa are level on points, or it's really, really close and there's 3-4 games left of the season, I think if there's any team to kind of hold their own, granted historically it hasn't been, but I think it's Tottenham this season. And that's because we've been in the Champions League, however, probably what, seven times in the past 10 years, or six times in the past 8 years, whatever it is. We're there a lot, and we're so desperate to be back there. I think Villa, they're sitting comfortably in the Conference League. Europa League is already a step up for them. They're building slowly. That, I think in their minds, it's not the be-all and end-all if they get Champions League football. Whereas for Tottenham, it's like, we've got the infrastructure that is meant for the Champions League.
I think you're probably right. There's just Villa fans in my family, so it's very okay. It's very exciting seeing them teetering around up there. What's the plan from here on out? Obviously, this single is out. What's the plan from here on? What do you have on the horizon?
The big thing that's coming up next is I've got two big headline shows coming. 5 days' time, I'm in Manchester, 21st of Feb at the Deaf Institute. That's going to be class. It's my first headline show in Manchester. And then 3 weeks after that, we've got headline show in London, 14th of March, O2 Academy Islington. And I'm just like, me on stage is a different beast. Like, I live to be on stage. So it's just full steam ahead to give it my absolute all. Sweat, blood, tears, all the cliches, just to get out there. Pure energy. I've split up the shows into like an instrumental part with a DJ and then a live section with a band, because I feel like giving people an all-round performance is just what I'm here to do. So the shows are going to be next level. And then after that, actually between those shows, I've got a song coming out called Leveling Up, which I love, obviously. It's with this producer called Roddy Beats, who is class. He's worked with Central C, Fredo. So I'm in good hands with him. Also a Spurs fan. And that song is like pure energy as well. And it describes me. It's like an introduction to just me, where I've been, where I'm at, where I'm headed. Like the first bar is, I'm big forms, I'm causing chaos, like just straight in. It's like I've started to sing a little bit more on that one. And then throughout the year, it's basically just a rollout of leaning more into the pop rap style. So the more releases that come, the more I'm going to be singing on and just transitioning into like someone who grew up on pure grime beats to actually, I've really messed with like Rizzle Kicks and Plan B and like those kind of vibes that gave my childhood proper vibes. So if I can emulate what they did and make it 20 times bigger, cool. So yeah, without me waffling on, in a nutshell, big shows, big releases, a lot more singing, and the year's going to be a big one.
Do you ever suffer from a lack of confidence?
No.
How do you do that?
I love myself. I think is the very honest, raw and snap answer. In school, I was the fat kid in school. Like I was just the big, jolly, tried to get everyone's attention because nobody would like give me a second look. And I wasn't not confident back then because I'd say from back in the day, I was a bit of an attention seeker. And I think you have to be, especially as an artist, because you're constantly fighting for people's attention. But I was a bit of an attention seeker back in the day, had hella insecurities about the way that I looked. And then when I got a little bit older, I kind of lost the puppy fat, started to lean into music a little bit more. And the more I wrote and the more I showed people and the more people that laughed at me, called me tragic and tried to basically shit on what I was doing. And at that time, everyone, like Tragic was the name that got branded for me throughout sixth form. And I blocked it all out because I loved it so much. I had this vision. If I just kept writing and writing, I'd get there. Plus, who is another human being to dictate what my life has in store for me? It wasn't going to run. So like I said earlier, through like training my muscle in my brain to block that out, I'm falling in love with what I was doing, getting better at what I was doing, in turn falling in love with myself because I knew how good I could get. It just got to a point where I was like, yeah, I'm the shit. Like, call it delusion, but genuinely, like 20 platinum plaques, 10 number ones and 5 sold out world tours exists in my timeline. And that stems from blocking out the noise from early, understanding who I am. It took a while to figure out who I was, how comfortable I was with writing about how I feel, more comfortable in my own skin. Like I still got tits. Like I still really much lean into the man boobs type of guy.
Sometimes it's just genetics.
Yeah, but whatever. Like it got to the point where I stopped caring because I think when you focus all of your time in doing the thing that you love, life becomes easier. And I love music so much. I love entertaining so much that the moment that became my life full time was the moment I went, yeah, cool. I love life. I love what I do. I love the fact that I'm able to do this. I love me. There is actually nothing that can stop me. And I've said it a couple of times to some people before. It was like, even if I was in a room with someone who's got like a bit more musical pedigree or they've got some skin in the game, like a Simon Cowell, for example, so much respect for what he's done, what he's built, the success that he's had for himself personally. Even if he was to turn around and listen to one of my songs and go, yeah, that's not it. Cool. You can't see it. I can. I'm going to keep going. Or I'm the only one that needs to see it. So if the next 100,000 people that hear one of my songs go, yeah, that's not it, don't care. Because the following million people could be like, yeah, that's sick.
I hate to break it to you, but you've been on this podcast now, so it is all downhill from this point on.
No, it's all uphill from here, trust me. I tend to waffle on when I talk about these kind of things because I'm passionate about them, man.
Like, I think it's really nice in an age where It's really nice to hear, in fairness, because I don't think you come across like a twat. I think it's fantastic. I think it's amazing to hear someone who really believes in themselves in an era where it feels like so many people don't believe in themselves. Mm-hmm. I feel like everyone is so crippled with neurosis or worries or insecurities that actually speaking to someone who's really worked on themselves and feels like they know where they're going and has achieved an awful lot already is very nice to hear. So
thank you.
I'm rooting for you all the way.
Thank you.
I think that's a good place to leave it. But thank you so much for your time, Forms. And do say goodbye to Stormzy for me.
Yeah, no, I will. See you in a little bit, Storms. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, that was episode 251. Thanks to Forms for the chat. Thanks to Tom Dark for hooking us up. The theme tune is by the band Biss, and I'll see you soon.
Was a Spook Media production.